Everything man has done, everything man has created, coveted, murdered for, killed for, fought wars for, everything that man today considers sacred, a treasure, is going to be gone.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill teaches the final message from his study in 2 Peter. Now, let's join Pastor for part two of How Should We Live?
The entire universe is going to be gone. It says, and the heavens will pass away. And look how it happens, with a great noise. That is a mysterious word. I believe, matter of fact, that word noise is only found right here, the Greek word for it, in the New Testament. And it means like the hissing of a snake, or like when an arrow is fired, that shh. Some people say that's what the atomic blast sounds like. I don't really know. And it says that great noise is going to be gone, and look what's going to happen. And the elements of the earth, all of the building blocks of the universe, the water and air and all the stuff, everything here, it says will melt, and look how it melts, with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, there's two schools of thought. This fervent heat, some believe, is the earth is going to be purified by fire, and then the earth is going to be restored like Eden or something. Now, that may be so. I believe it says burned up, and I'm going to just take it. It's going to be burned up. Is that a deal? Now, it doesn't really matter who is right, because it's going to be dissolved. You see, we can argue that point all day long, but the fact of the matter is, man, it's going to be gone. Think about it. The heavens are gone. The earth is gone. The works are gone. The only reality we ever know is this, isn't it? That's the only reality we know. It is gone. Now listen to me. Everything man has done, everything man has created, coveted, murdered for, killed for, fought wars for, everything that man today considers sacred, a treasure, is going to be gone. It will never, no never, no never, no never be seen again. We have to ask ourselves, what are we really living for right now? What are you really living for, Christian? We have to be honest with ourselves. Are you living for what's perishing, or what is temporary? Or are you going to be living for what is eternal? Amen? Amen? You know, out front here, there is a lithograph of a painting that's very dear to my heart. And I hung that there about 25 years ago, I think. It's a famous painting. It's called The Sower. You know, the parable of the sower? Well, you know, they just unveiled the original masterpiece of the sower. They're letting the public see it again for the first time in many, many years. But, you know, it's a treasure, and I agree with that. But you can't even hang it. If you're going to see it, you can only see it flat, laying down, because it's so cracked, the little pieces, the fragments, fall out, and they can't hang it. You know, and that's wonderful. The Mona Lisa, all the things that, if you've ever seen, those are treasures. But God says, I'm not putting any premium on any of it. Everything you've created is not first class. Everything we've done, man, listen, he says, no, it's all going to be gone. And then Peter asks this great question. And you got to remember, he's getting ready to go home. He says, therefore, based on everything we've just learned, since all these things, the earth, the heavens, the works, everything we know of, is going to be dissolved or burned up, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, you say, well, boy, that's a big charge. No, it's not. We've already learned all the way back in chapter 1, verse 3, that we are partakers of the divine nature of God, and that he has given, it's a past tense, it's already a present reality, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So we don't have an excuse, do we? No, not at all. So we can do those things. So here we go. We know the world, or we know what's going to happen in the world. The world doesn't know it. The world doesn't even believe it. We know the future of this planet. How should we live? Well, we need to be set apart from this world, and we need to be set apart unto God. We need to be fishers of men. We need to be ambassadors for Christ. We need to be the salt. We need to be the light. And we don't have anything to do with the world, because this world is not our home. Amen? That's why John the Apostle said in 1 John 2:15, he said this, "Do not love the world. Do not love the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever." You know, we're closing out this year, loved one. We're closing out what we tried and believed was going to be a revolution, and we don't know what's coming. But what did that really mean? It means that the body of Christ, if you truly want revolution, the word revolution means to revolve around. That means that we need to revolve around the throne of grace. Amen? That's so important. And not only that, Jesus told us to do something that he didn't say to do in any other part of Scripture. He said in Matthew 6:33, he says, "Seek first." He didn't say seek first anything else but this. Seek first is the top priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 11, verse 12? He says, "From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What does that mean? We're going to arm ourselves? No, that's not what it means at all. It means that we consider the kingdom of God as a prized possession. We belong to the kingdom. Amen? What did Jesus say? He said, "Oh, my little children, it is my Father's pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Amen? Are you seeking the Lord like that? That's the way that we need to be living. And not only that, look at verse 12. We need to be looking for something. Looking for, or literally expectant, excited, looking for and hastening. The word hastening means earnestly desiring the coming of the, a very specific phrase, watch this, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So Peter here in verse 12, looking for. When we get to verse 13, it'll say look for. When we get to verse 14, it's going to say look forward. What does that mean? It means our attitude right this minute, then and today, for the Christian, is one of expectancy, that Jesus could come at any moment, meaning the catching away of the church. We call that the rapture, loved one. So very important. Verse 12 now concludes the day of the Lord, and look what it commences, the day of God. There's a big difference there, okay? The day of God. Now, when the day of God comes, the rule and reign of man is completely over. And look what happens in verse 13. Nevertheless, Peter says, we, according to his promise, God's promise, look for new heavens, plural, new earth in which righteousness dwells. Man, what a city, what a place that's going to be. Is there any sorrow there? Any pain? Any death? Any crying? Any tears? No, none of that. And you know why it's, man, the righteous one is there though. Our Lord and our Savior, he is there. And listen, on the day of judgment, okay, the great white throne, when the books are closed forever, when it's closed, suddenly something's going to happen. Suddenly we're going to enter timelessness, and then we're going to be in eternity forever and ever and ever. A brand new day, a brand new world, the city of God. That's Revelation 22 and 21, of course. A loved one, listen, do you know that we're going to witness what's happening right here? See, we come back to the earth with the Lord, amen? We're going to see this. I mean, we'd probably be right next to one another, don't you? Hey, hello. And you turn and go, I didn't like you back then, but I love you now. No. And you know, and listen, and I say, oh, Lord, we're going to see it. John saw it. Let me tell you what John saw. Right after that, when you went into the day of God, Revelation 21:1. Now I saw, a new heaven. I saw a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth, they passed away and there was no more sea. So that which Peter proclaimed, that which John the apostle, what he saw, that which Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 65:17, and what Jesus promised is going to happen. Remember Jesus' promise about that? Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. This is not our home. Everything that you have, loved one, everything that you have, it's not here. This is all going to burn. Do you understand? It's all going to pass away. Did you buy a $1 million home? It's going to burn. I'm sorry. You know, you can have, you know, somebody told me last Sunday, oh, Bill, I wish you'd have been with me. I was in Glenrose, and they had a Corvette show, because he knows I love Corvettes. And he said, there was 150 Corvettes there. You couldn't, from every year. And I went, don't tell me that. I said, did you know? And I said, they're going to burn. Oh, God. I mean, do you understand? Everything you have, God says it's worthless. Don't you understand that? It's of this world, and everything in this world is fallen. He says, oh, no, everything you have is going to be found in heaven. You know why? Because Christians don't lay up their treasures on earth. They lay up their treasures in heaven. Amen? And we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. Where's our reward? Right here? No, our reward is in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's with us now, but he's also there. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Heaven, man. Are you worried about your stuff? Listen, I'm getting rid of stuff. I'm excited to get rid of stuff. You know, it brings joy to my heart. I'm cleaning out my garage. I mean, it's like, take it. I have tools I've had for over 50 years, and they're older than that. Take it. Get it out of my sight. I want a clean garage. I'll enjoy something before it burns. Loved one, listen, heaven is a real place. And we are right now, all of us, we are running the race of faith to our city. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And while we're here, we need to win the lost, because God's not willing that any should perish. Amen? Oh, we need to do our job. Look at verse 14 quickly. Therefore, and he uses the word again, beloved, looking forward to these things. Are you looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth and all this burning up? Okay, well, that's what he says. Oh, man, we are looking forward. We're eager about this. He says, now be diligent, or make every effort to be found by him in peace. We already have peace with God, Romans 5:1. This is be at peace with one another. Amen? And then it says also, without spot and blameless. Well, we're thank God we're cleansed. The false teachers, were they blemishes and spots and all stains? Yes. And consider, watch this now. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. What does that mean? God right now is giving this world time, if you will, to repent. That's why we have to be fishers of men, loved one. Listen, today is the day of salvation, when God is calling out, please, I don't want you to perish. Come to the Lord. We're not in the day of judgment yet. That's at the very end. And he goes, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, meaning the Jewish believers. Remember when I taught Hebrews, very first introduction, I use this scripture because when it says, when Peter says, have written to you, the Jewish believers, I believe that Paul the apostle penned the book of Hebrews, okay? And the passage, I believe, proves it, okay? That's for me. Now, you can argue, but I'm just saying what I think. Now, it says, and also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things about, you know, and Hebrews does talk about the earth rolling up like a scroll, remember? Folding itself up like an old garment and so forth. But he said, everything's going to be going away, but Jesus is still standing. When all the dust settles, he's still there. And it says, speaking of them and those things in which some things are hard to understand, he says, which untaught, unstable people twist to their own destruction. In other words, twisting the scripture to say what they wanted to say to justify their sin or whatnot. And he says, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Now, you therefore, beloved, there's that word again, since you know this beforehand. Now, we know everything now, don't we? We can include ourselves in knowing beforehand. He says this, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away or led astray by the error of the wicked, which is the false teaching, okay? Instead of God's truth, or the false teaching. So for the fourth time now, Peter uses the word beloved. And when he does, he issues a command, a military term, by the way, the word beware. It literally means be on guard. It's like you are a soldier at your guard post. Keep your eyes open. You stay alert. You keep yourselves on the lookout because of the danger. What danger is he speaking of? He's speaking of two, false teaching. You got to stay away from false teaching because of what may happen if you embrace it. Look what it says. And if you embrace it, it says, lest you fall from your own firm foundation or your own steadfastness. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about losing your security of the position that you have in Christ Jesus by getting off into false doctrine. And that's what he's talking about here. So he wants us to be stable in an unstable world. We don't want to be like verse 14, the unstable souls that were led away with the false doctrine. We don't want that. So how do we do all this? Peter tells us, look at verse 18, which is the theme of 2 Peter. He says, but grow in the unmerited, unearned, undeserved divine favor of God. Grow in the grace of God. Did you know that's a command to grow? Keep growing. Be constantly growing spiritually in grace. We are saved by grace, and we are also to grow in grace. Look back at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things, everything's going to pass away, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Well, loved one, in light of what we know, how are we going to live in a world that's doomed? Because it is doomed. Well, you won't be living the right way unless you grow in the grace of God. The Bible tells us that we stand in the grace of God 24/7, Romans 5:2. You can read it later. Now, the grace of God is very important. Remember when Peter, when he wrote 1 Peter, okay? And he says in chapter 5, verse 12, he gives a command how they are to endure the persecution, this fiery trial. And he says, literally in 5:12, he says unto them, I have written to you briefly, I've written just a short little letter, exhorting, parakaleo, coming alongside of you to encouraging you. And he goes up and he says, and testifying, another, what I'm about to tell you, Peter says, is absolutely true. You can trust it, and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. In which you stand, meaning he is commanding them, he's commanding us to stand in the grace of the living God. In other words, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of the living God. Oh, loved one. And then he goes on and he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You don't live in this world is not yours, but, so you got to get your mind right to live in this world till you go home. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Here it comes. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was Peter telling the people in 1 Peter? What was he telling those Jewish believers that were suffering? He was saying, listen to me, grace is greater than pardon. Grace is also power. And loved one, listen, you know, grace, something happens. If you really know that no matter what you face in life, is God's grace sufficient for you? Okay, that means whatever you're facing, if your circumstances, yes, you see them. Circumstances, that word in Latin, the things that surround you, the things that are trying to kill you, hurt you, whatever, that are keeping you from believing the Lord. When you are surrounded by problems, you need to say to yourself, I stand in the unmerited, undeserved divine favor of the living God 24/7. And his grace is sufficient to me. And those circumstances, they won't remain long. They're here. I see them, but I see God's grace. And listen to me, God's grace does something if we believe it. It transforms our trials into victories. Does that make sense? What did Paul told him at Corinth? 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God, our Father, who always, not sometimes, who always leads us in victory or triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wherever God is leading you in your life, He's not leading you to fail. He's leading you to training for reigning. Amen? He's leading you to get to the other side. But you have to believe that that grace is there, so we have to grow in grace. Did you know that grace has power? No, it has incredible power. What did Paul, the apostle, in his farewell letter, 2 Timothy, what did he tell Timothy, his beloved son, if you will? He said in 2 Timothy 2:1, "You therefore, my son," he says, "be strong." That word literally means be strong inside. Be strong within. In what? In the grace. Now, where's that grace found? It says, the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, is Jesus in you? Well, you have all the grace you need. Amen? Yeah, so God's grace, we grow in that. No matter what we face, He'll get us through. So we have a gift that cannot be earned, and we also have a strength that cannot be measured. We have God's strength working in our life right this minute. Adrian Rogers said this about grace. He said this is the best definition he's ever heard. God's grace is both the desire and the ability to do the will of God. To do the will of God. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:11 about grace. He says, "This grace of God brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us," meaning that grace is a teacher, "teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldliness, that we live soberly," that means a self-controlled mind. A self-controlled mind can only come from sound teaching. The word sound means healthy teaching. Now, and he goes on that we live righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, with all of that being said, we move, he says, grow in grace, and then he says, and grow in the knowledge, not just any knowledge, but the knowledge of the Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, amen? That word there is not gnosis, which means facts. It's epignosis, which means experience. It means a hands-on knowledge. It means to have the way that you have that kind of knowledge is that you travel with the Lord. You follow the Lord, and you experience Him. Oh, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing, loved one. Listen, to grow in Christ. You know, when growth stops, what happens? Decay or death begins, doesn't it? You know, my sister, I mention her a lot. I talk to her every week, sometimes twice a week. She's 90-some-odd years old, and you know, we have a very close relationship. And she took me in when I was 14 years old and raised me. I didn't have a home. And you know what the first thing she did the first month I was there? The first month, back then, there was a big opening in the kitchen. It was, you know how you trim out a door and there's no doors but just a wooden jamb? And she stuck me against that wooden jamb and put a straight edge. Thank you. It flattened my hair. And I combed it like Elvis back. But anyway. And then she would get a pencil and put a mark there. And she said, "It's your first month here. This is how tall you are." Then she'd get Stevie, who's like my little brother, and her son. And then she did his. And then she, Jennifer, and she did his. She did that all the way until I left, was drafted in the Army. You see, God loves to mark your growth. He is our Father. He loves to mark your growth when you grow in the knowledge of our Lord. And there is only one way you can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to open your Bibles. Do you understand? There is absolutely no other way. And as you do that, you will learn of Jesus. What did Jesus, he gave a great invitation, Matthew 11:28-30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." He says, "Take it, yoke up with me right now." You know, and he says, "And learn from me." Can you believe Jesus said, "Come on, let me teach you, learn from me." And as you yoke up with him, he does the work. You're not doing the work. He's dragging you along, getting you through this life. It's the best place to be because you're learning of the Lord. And then you start going from glory to glory into Christ's likeness. You start learning how to forgive like Jesus, love like Jesus, think like Jesus, comfort others like Jesus. Amen? Because you're growing and you grow out of old things and all things become new. You no longer talk to your wife like she's a dog. You no longer talk to your husband like he's a dog. You grow up and grow out of that filth and that sin.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with another message from God's Word, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.